In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus speaking, of course, he said these words in essence, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And ever since he's uttered those words, he's been busy establishing his kingdom, building his church, the ecclesia, the elect, those who are called out, separated from the world, separated unto his divine purpose, and empowered to establish his kingdom and his will in the earth. And a very special part of that building program and process is the local church. So I just want to talk to you just a few moments along these lines as kind of a precursor to our main agenda. This is going to be a great service today. It's a participator service, not a spectator's service. But I do want to lay some groundwork and as we move in that direction. How many of you know that a very essential part of fulfilling your personal destiny as a Christian and as a member of the body of Christ is where you go to church? I don't think most people realize that that's probably one of the most significant decisions you'll ever make as a believer is where you go to church. It will have tremendous impact on your life personally, the lives of your family, and potentially impact your destiny as designed by God. The reason we say that is because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, notice the Apostle Paul writing, he said, God has set the members, each one of them in the body, notice, just as he pleased. So if it's just as he pleased, right, it's not as I pleased. The Moffat translation says, as it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. So once again, if God's placed the parts where he wants them, then where I go to church and where you go to church, in my estimation, is not necessarily a matter of personal preference as much as it is a matter of divine appointment and placement. Now, there are several reasons that we say that. First of all, every sheep needs a shepherd. This is God's plan. This is his way. And so God will place each one of us as a member of the body of Christ in a local church under the care of a pastor where we can be fed the word of God, we can grow up spiritually, we can be nurtured and protected as a young believer. We can be encouraged and preserved as a mature believer. And where we can receive the necessary revelation, knowledge, impartations, spiritual equipment, and relationships to keep us from the snares of the enemy along our journey and to make sure that we're on the right path to fulfilling God's plan and destiny for our lives. I often say that the local church is where each of us find our significance as a Christian. It's where our individual purposes are discovered within the context of the corporate purpose. Does that make sense? None of us were intended as a Christian to be an entity unto ourselves. Our lives, our purposes, our destinies as believers are interconnected in Christ. So my life as a Christian and your life as a Christian can never find its true fulfillment unless we discover how we relate to the body of Christ as a whole. And that discovery primarily takes place within the context, once again, of the local church. You know, as we said, the local church is also where we should develop relationships and mutually supply one another, and strengthen one another, and encourage one another. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, you're familiar with the scripture, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's why I'm just so encouraged by your pastors when all the shenanigans of the last couple of years, and we realize it was serious for some people, but they kept the church open. You kept meeting together. You kept coming together as believers. I love that. I don't know if you've seen the cartoon, maybe on Facebook or something, but it is a joke, so nobody get offended. But, you know, Mr. Jones passed away, And so he, of course, goes up to the pearly gates. And Peter meets him there. And he's looking at the roll. Mr. Jones, Mr. Jones, Mr. Jones. Oh, yes, Mr. Jones, I see your name right here. He said, now, I also realize and see here that you didn't actually attend church, but you did watch it online. So you won't actually get to go into heaven, but you can watch it online. Now, we said that is a joke because we realize some people, you know, can't physically get here. And we appreciate the modern technology. But if you can come and you're obviously acting on that, come on. Amen. So praise God. You know, I'd never be where I am in my life personally if it were not for my constant and continual relationship with the local church throughout my life. I was born and raised in the local church. I started serving in the local church since I was 16 years old. I was trained in the local church. I met my wife in the local church. Our ministry was launched from the local church. And a large portion and emphasis of our ministry today is still the local church. Everybody say it one more time. Thank God for the local church. So I'm simply saying to you this morning that once again, where we go to church is not so much a matter of personal preference as much as it is a matter of divine placement and appointment if we're listening. I said to you, there's several reasons for that. First of all, God knows what every single one of us are going to need along this life's journey to equip us, to help us, to strengthen us. He knows the relationships and divine connections with people that need to be formulated that will benefit us not only personally, but also for the kingdom of God. And so he knows where to send us to get those impartations, to receive that revelation, to forge and formulate those relationships. And if we're listening, we'll be in the right place at the right time, once again, with the right people. Now, we also said to you, it's not just about, or we want to say to you, it's not just about what we can receive. Thank God for that. But it's also what we can supply. Because not only are there personal destinies as a Christian, but guess what? They're also corporate ones. So God will join personal destinies to formulate corporate ones like this one. Let me read you a scripture in Exodus 31, verses 1 through 6, and then we'll also read verse 11. Are you with me? And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I've called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I've filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and in silver and in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. I indeed have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishma, of the tribe of Dan. And I've put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you. Verse 11, and the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you, shall they do. Isn't that awesome? God said, Moses, I have a commission, a vision. I want you to build me a tabernacle. And I'm going to surround you with the individuals that I have likewise gifted in various areas that will assist in bringing that vision into fruition. And the same principle holds true when God sends a pastor to a city with a vision. Guess what? He simultaneously calls a people, if they're listening, who will come alongside with the gifts, the graces, the abilities, and the resources to bring that vision into fruition. So I always encourage people, listen, never let anyone or anything separate you from your God-appointed placement in the body of Christ as it pertains to the local church. Sometimes people leave churches, and I've watched it through the years, because of offense, or maybe a disagreement, or personal agenda, or personal discouragement in life, and they just separate themselves from the body. Listen, there's a safety in the company of the saints. I realize people transition in life by the leading of the Holy Spirit, but I also believe with all my heart that there is an eternal blessing and reward for people who will find their place in the body of Christ as it pertains to the local church, give their supply, and be faithful in that. Can you say amen? I'll tell you, you can be born, raised, and attend, born in the same city, raised in the same city, attend the same local church your entire life by the design and will of God. I've seen people do that. Sometimes people say, well, I just need a change. Well, only if God is telling you need a change, not just because you want to change, right? We want to be led in these things. So I said all that to say, as I look around this auditorium and I look around this campus, wow, all the years of people that have been here giving your supply, praying for the church, and now all of you who have joined yourself in recent times, congratulations, you've been faithful. It is beautiful to see what is unfolding here, and guess what? The best is yet to come. Can you say amen? So today, as I said, that's kind of a precursor to our main agenda. It just seemed good to me and to the Holy Ghost that we should have what we call a celebration service today. Is that all right? Now, we've done this years ago, but it's good to revisit it because there's a lot of new people and a lot of good testimonies. But we want to have what we call a celebration service where we call to mind God's faithfulness, His goodness that we sing about, to us corporately, yes, but also to us personally, and offer what the Bible calls the sacrifice of praise. Amen? Anybody ready? So I want to lay a little groundwork from the scripture so you know exactly what that sacrifice consists of. All right? Because sometimes people get a little nervous when there's what they consider commotion. And they don't realize it's praise in its proper perspective, right? So let's just lay a little groundwork here. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a priesthood from the tribe of Levi. You're familiar with that reality. And it was the responsibility of the priesthood to offer all the various sacrifices that were required as ordinances of worship under the Old Covenant. So they had daily sacrifices, weekly sacrifices, annual sacrifices, wave offerings, praise offerings, grain offerings. I mean, you name it, they had it. And it was the responsibility of the priesthood to offer those sacrifices. And so how many of you know that in the New Testament dispensation, that the institution of the priesthood still exists? Did you know that? How do we know, Brother Marty? Well, because the Bible tells us so. Look in 1 Peter 2:9. Notice, you, speaking of you and I, you are a chosen generation. Watch this, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. So if somebody ever says to you, well, aren't you special? You say, yes, I am. My own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So in the New Testament dispensation, all of us who have been born again of the Spirit of God, we have become kings and priests unto God. And so as the priesthood, it is still our responsibility in the New Testament dispensation to offer the sacrifices that are required as in the New Testament, okay? Now, just as a side note, we understand that in the Old Covenant, man is separated from God because of sin. There's a sin problem, right? Romans 6:23, what does it tell us? It says the wages or the payment or the compensation necessary for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God said, look, we've got a sin problem, and because the wages and the payment necessary for that sin is death, I'm going to devise a temporary solution for the sin problem. And here's what we're going to do. Every year, once a year, the high priest, and only the high priest, will come into the Holy of Holies, which was the inner sanctuary of the temple where the very Shekinah glory of God was present. And he was to bring the blood of a sacrificial animal, sprinkle that blood upon the altar and on the mercy seat. And God said, I will receive the blood of that animal as payment or compensation for the sins of the people for 1 year. Now people say, why blood? Well, Leviticus 17 and 11, I want you to notice the scripture says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Therefore, I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement or compensation for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So basically, because the life of the flesh is in the blood, when that blood was shed, that sacrificial animal, it was symbolic of it actually giving its life as a substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of the people for 1 year. Hebrews 9:22, you've read it before, it says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin, no dismissal of the charges. So God said, that's our temporary solution. We'll do it every year until the final solution can come, which he did. Matthew chapter 12 and 21, or 1 and 21, excuse me, she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Woo! How? By shedding his own blood, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundations of the world upon the altar of the cross, shedding his blood, eternally purging the sins of all those who will receive by faith the sacrifice. How many of you have received that sacrifice? Congratulations, your sins are forgiven. If you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that blood has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. Heaven is your home. God is your Father. Woo! And Jesus is your Lord. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing and what a privilege. And we sang about it this morning. Notice Hebrews 9 and 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Aren't you glad? That sacrifice, the sin offering, never has to be offered again. It has been offered once and for all eternity, and our sins are eternally remitted for those of us who have received once again the sacrifice and put our faith in Jesus Christ. Never has to be offered again. However, now we're in a new covenant, a new dispensation. The institution of the priesthood still exists. Now, as the priesthood, we don't have to offer a sin offering. Christ offered his own body. But guess what? There are still sacrifices that are to be offered, and the New Testament tells us exactly what those sacrifices are. Notice in 1 Peter 2 and 5, you also, as lively stones, are being built up, what? A spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up what kind of sacrifices? Spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So the sacrifices that you and I are to offer in this new covenant dispensation are spiritual in nature and origin. And the New Testament gives us some insight into what that consists of. So one we could mention, it's not our main point, but Romans chapter 12. You know that scripture, verses 1 through 2? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So one of the sacrifices that we're to offer that is spiritual in nature is our lives, our bodies, a moment-by-moment lifetime sacrifice. Are you with me? One translation says it's our spiritual worship. When it says reasonable service, spiritual worship. Now, I didn't give this to the guys in the back, but I want to quote it to you because it brings a little more light. In the Message Bible, same verses, listen to what Paul said. He said, here's what I want you to do, God helping you. I want you to take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life. And I want you to place it before me as an offering. And don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even realizing it. Instead, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. Isn't that beautiful? So that's one of the offerings and sacrifices we're to give, is our lives and our bodies moment by moment. But the one we want to camp on and experience this morning is over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. You know the scripture. Notice. Therefore, by him, by Jesus Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of what? Praise to God. Now, isn't it good that the New Testament didn't leave us clueless as to what that praise offering consists of? To offer the sacrifice of praise, notice, that is, very clearly, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. So the sacrifice of praise, according to the New Testament, demands the expression of the heart in thanksgiving to God through the lips or the mouth, right? We have other scriptures that attest to that reality. In Psalm 34 in verse 1, notice, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be where? In my mouth. In my hands? In my mouth. Now, in our modern society, people have begun to substitute a physical action for an inward response. I'm not opposed to people clapping, enjoy yourself with the music and all of that. Fine. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. But we don't applaud God. We praise him. And that's a higher form, right? So when somebody says, man, let's praise God, that's when the mouth goes open and the heart begins to express itself in thanksgiving to him for all that he has done. Psalm 71 and verse 8, let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your honor all the day. So once again, there's an expression of the heart through the lips when the fruit or the sacrifice of praise is being offered. Now, let me give you a few definitions. I taught in Bible school. I taught a course called The Heart of the Worshipper. So I did a little bit of study along these lines. And if you look in the Hebrew, there are several variations of the word praise. I just want to give them to you briefly. So once again, we have a good foundation to operate on this morning. All right? So the first one in the Hebrew means to shine. That has something to do with your countenance, right? So that means if somebody says, let's praise the Lord, you can't praise God with an old sourpuss face. Hallelujah. God is good. Really? I don't believe you, right? Something should be emanating from the inside on the outside. There should be a shine. We used to sing a song, I got something on the inside working on the outside. Woo! Right? So when we praise God this morning, we should lift up our countenance. Oh, you saints of God. Well, I don't have anything to really smile about. Really? You're not going to hell? That's something to smile about. You're going to be eternity in heaven with Jesus? That's something to smile about. Woo! Shine. Here's another one, a second one. It means to make a show. Make a show. Praise involves making a show. What does that mean? That means, obviously, friends, there's something observable going on. Somebody, there's some demonstration somewhere, right? And you can see it. When you make a show, now not to draw attention to yourself, but to glorify Him. So there's some outward demonstration. Some people say, oh, they're just making a show. That's right. Praising God, right? So we're going to shine, make a show, to boast. Boast. You know what it means when you boast about someone? You know, when I was a kid, you know how it was when you're kids and you're on the playground, man, you're this high, and everybody says, well, my daddy can beat your daddy. You remember that, guys? I don't know if y'all still do that at school now. We said, nah, man, my dad'll get your dad. You're boasting, right, in your dad. Well, that's what you do about God. You just boast about Him, how amazing He is, how awesome and faithful and powerful and almighty. There's none above you. There's none beside you. There's none before you. You alone rule in the kingdoms of men. Your throne is in the heavens. Woo! And you're almighty God. We boast in Him. So we shine, we make a show, we boast. Number four, here's another element of praise. It means to celebrate. Celebrate. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever really seen somebody celebrate? Now, how many of you are sports fans? You've got your favorite basketball team, football team, whatever it might be, hockey, I don't know, soccer. And you're at the game. And man, I mean, the time's running out. And your team makes a touchdown. And you're a fan. Woo! You don't stand there and say, well, isn't that wonderful, Martha? They made a touchdown. Not if you're a fan, you don't. I mean, if you're a fan and they make that touchdown, I mean, you're jumping up and down. Woo! You're dancing around. You're hugging people. Nobody thinks anything about it. Why? Oh, man, they're just fanatic. They're a fan. They're just expressing themselves. Guess what? Jesus did a lot more than take a bag of wind down the field. He saved us. He redeemed us. He deserves a little celebration. And it's all right to shine, to make a show, to boast, to celebrate. Well, I just don't think you need all that commotion. Really? If I was in your house and I was watching you on football day, you're in your recliner with a bag of potato chips and a Dr. Pepper, and your team makes the touchdown and you go wild, you can do that for Jesus. Amen. Here's another one, the final one. It means to commend or speak favorably of. To praise God means to commend or speak favorably of. Thanking Him for all that He's done for us in Christ Jesus. When you commend someone, you basically say, wow, that was awesome job. What an amazing blessing the worship was this morning. I'm commending. I'm speaking favorably. Father, thank you. Thank you for delivering us from the power of darkness and translating us into the kingdom of your dear Son. Thank you for all that you've done for us in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you've brought us out of death into life, out of darkness into light. You've raised us up and made us sit in heavenly places with Christ. Thank you that you've redeemed us from the curse of the law. Are you with me? Just commending him. And then finally this morning, the word praise in the Greek means this, the genuine. That means heartfelt. It's coming from your heart. It's real. The genuine, let me find it here, confession. The genuine confession of facts in one's life that gives glory to God. Now, what's that? That means, guys, when he's done something, we know what he's done for all of us in Christ. But when he's done something for you personally, when he saved you and delivered you from alcoholism or drug addiction or man or depression or anxiety or saved your marriage or turned your life around or walked you through a season that was really rough or helped you financially and you're still here and you're still standing, right? When you give him praise for that and you tell it, yeah. You know why you tell it? Because it not only glorifies God, but it gives people who are maybe walking in the same place hope. Your testimony, your story is a blessing to others. You'll remember when the woman with the issue of blood, she came. Do you remember that story? She said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She came, she pressed through the crowd, she touched the hem of his garment, right? And then she was healed. And then the Bible says, she went and told, right? And it's important to tell your testimony. And I know they're going to have someone that come home, but we're going to have some today. All right? So here's what's going to happen this morning. We're going to offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Why? Well, 1 Chronicles 16:34, notice we sang about it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because he's good. And his mercy endures forever. Here's a good one. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 2. Notice this. It is good to say thank you to the Lord. To sing praises to God who is above all gods. Now watch this. Every morning, tell him, thank you for your kindness. Every evening, rejoice in his faithfulness. Don't you love that? Every morning, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Here's another good one, Psalm 35 and 28. Watch this. I will tell who? Everyone. How great and how good you are. I will praise you all day long. I'm going to tell everybody. Well, I'm just a little shy. That's all right. The boldness of God will come on you. You tell it. Amen? So now here's what we're going to do this morning at the direction of the Holy Spirit. In a moment, not right now, but in a moment, I'm going to have everybody stand. And then I'm going to count to three. And when I do, we're going to raise a shout of praise in this house. We're going to shout. I'm new. I've never done that. Well, you're in good company this morning. You know the old detergent for the tough stains? You got to shout it out, right? Sometimes you just need to give a good shout. So we're going to start with a shout of praise, and we're going to begin to personally just thank God for everything he's done for us in Christ. We're going to scare every devil in Houston. Ooh. This is a participator service. And then after we praise God for a few moments, listen, then I'm going to ask different ones of you as your heart prompts you. Now, may I ask you a question? Has God ever healed anybody? I mean, honestly healed someone in this room. Beautiful. Has he ever delivered or helped or blessed, whether it was physically, financially, spiritually, relationally? I know he has. And I'm going to ask you as your heart prompts you to come up here, right? Some of you on this side, you'll come here, you'll wait on the floor till I call one at a time. On this side, you'll come over here. There's going to be an usher. All right. If you can't maneuver the stairs, I'll come down to you. But I want you to come and I want you to give a listen, short, concise testimony. So if you're given to a lot of detail, listen, we want headlines. Everybody say headlines. You know, you got the headlines and the fine print. No fine print, just the headlines so we can keep it moving. And I want you to come tell us something God has done for you that it may bring him glory and help somebody else. Maybe he healed you. Just give us the basic outline. If he delivered you from anxiety, depression, alcoholism, drug addiction. Hey, man, we're not looking. Really? Man, we're going to be going, whoa-hoo-hoo! We're going to celebrate with you the goodness of God. Amen. So we're going to start with a shout of praise. Then we're going to take some personal testimonies, and then we're going to end in one final shout of praise. And I have specific direction for that praise. And that is what we call an anticipatory praise or a praise of expectation. Did you know that's a real form of praise? When you praise God, not just for what he has done, but what you're anticipating he'll do even before you see the outcome. Daryl, give me a little bit more in this monitor, as much as you can give me. Do I have the right name? Is it Daryl or Derek? Daryl, I got you. Okay, bro. Give me more in this monitor here. And so we're going to do that. Lillian B. Yeomans, how many of you have ever heard of Lillian B. Yeomans? Lillian B. Yeomans was a medical doctor back in the early 1900s. She was delivered. She was saved, delivered from morphine addiction. She had a tremendous healing ministry. And then she made this statement. She said, praise hastens victory. There's something about praise that can activate or accelerate victory. Is that true? Is right. We have many examples in the scripture. Notice in Acts chapter 16. I'm going to turn this toward me too. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. Notice, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, I know y'all have read this many, many times, but we can rehearse it again. Prayed and did what? Sang praises in a real quiet, reverent little voice. They didn't want to disturb anyone else. Is that what it says? No, man. And all the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately, now I love this, all the doors were opened. Not just Paul and Silas's. All the doors were open. Everyone's bands were loose. Now, what does that tell us? When we start praising God, God inhabits that praise. And when his presence comes in, not just, you know, one or two, everybody in the vicinity can be affected and empowered and touched by that atmosphere. Are you with me? So we're going to end that last, and I'll cue you on it. That last praise is going to be a shout of anticipation. How many of you have ever read the old stories in the Old Testament? Right? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Don't you notice every time God had a battle plan, he said, all right, now listen, guys. Do this, 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 and this. And then shout. Circle the city six times on the seventh day, seven times. Everybody be quiet. And then when the priests sound the trumpet, you let out a shout. What happened? The walls fell down. I mean, that praise activated something in the unseen realm. Gideon and the Midianites, same thing. Israel and the Philistines. It's not just commotion. There's power in praise. So we're going to offer that sacrifice this morning. Anybody going to help me? Yeah. All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up. What we're going to do first, Brother Marty, we're going to offer an initial shout of praise in what? In thanksgiving. thanking God for everything He has done, right, for us in Christ. And if you've never shouted before, this is your opportunity. Just let her rip. Nobody's looking at you. Everybody's got your eyes on Jesus. And I mean giving Him a shout. Then I'm going to ask different ones of you to come, you know. And I'll call on you. And you're going to come not with your latest revelation or a mini sermon, but with a praise, a sacrifice of praise, something good God has done for you. And don't make me come out there and get you. Come on up here. He's worthy. I've never done that before. You'll be all right. And listen, I'm going to hold the microphone. I'll hold the mic because I want to make sure it's close to your mouth and it doesn't go way out here and all of that, all right? And then you come give Him glory, and then we'll give a final anticipatory or praise of anticipation. You got something in your life you're believing to come to pass. Are you ready? Are you ready to scare every devil and magnify God? All right, on the count of three. One, two, three. Come on. Hey, hallelujah! Oh, we magnify you.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.